State Representative Josh Elliott formally announced his candidacy for the Democratic nomination for governor. Representative Elliott is the first Democrat to enter the race, with Governor Lamont still deciding whether he will even seek a third term in office. And Representative Elliott joins us on the show. Representative, it is really great to connect with you. I told our audience that, ironically enough, I had no idea you were thinking of running for governor, but I had the chance to meet you in person and do sort of a roundtable discussion with seniors in your district earlier this year. And so I was really glad I got to meet you in person before having you on the show. Welcome.
Right back at you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you here. So first and foremost, for people who are not familiar with your political background, your background and connection to Connecticut, let's start with that. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I grew up in Guilford, went to high school in Hamden, left for a few years, came back about 15 years ago, went to Quinnipiac Law School, opened up a little business in Shelton that I ran for 10 years, but right now, I co-own Time and Season in Hamden with my mother. Ended up being a non-practicing attorney. Sanders comes along. I had not been involved in politics in years and years. Got really involved in that campaign. When it ended, there was an opportunity to run for office here in Hamden. Ended up openly announcing against the Speaker of the House. A few weeks later, he decided he was not going to run for another term. And here I am 9 years later, serving in my fifth term. I have chaired committees. I am the screening chair for the speaker now, deputy speaker, caucus co-chair. I hold a few titles, have a few hats. And there are a lot of things that I believe strongly in that I think that the state should be working on. And that's why I decided to do what I'm doing.
I definitely want to talk about that portion, the fact that you do have some very strong, I would say things that you want to accomplish if you are elected to be the next governor. I'm curious, you're not worried at all whether or not the governor decides to run for a third term?
No, this is done specifically with the intention that the governor is running. Everything I've heard is that he's planning on it. He's calling through State Central. He's calling DTC chairs. He's doing all the work that one would do. Now, if it turns out that my having announced now in a month, he sees that the tides are turning internally and he doesn't want to really be running a Lyme B primary, I totally get that. But right now, I didn't want to wait. And the fact is that anybody who wants to run for these positions, a few months is not enough. And I know the governor was out there saying that these campaigns last too long. The fact is that to have the conversations necessary with all the people around the state that hold the keys to line A, because line A is really important for the primary, you have to give yourself the time. So if I were to wait until August, if I were to wait until September, that would just cut into my ability to be able to explain to people what it is I'm trying to accomplish.
Fair. Representative Elliott, I've also heard, and again, hearing and rumors are exactly that, but I've had some very strong inklings that there are other very strong Democrats in the state that if Governor Lamont were not to be the nominated Democrat, they are very interested in running for governor. For example, Comptroller Sean Scanlon, I know Attorney General William Tong, Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewitz. I mean, these are very powerful, strong Democratic names that are being tossed around. Again, no one has confirmed anything. I've spoken to their teams. I've spoken to them directly. They have, at least at this point, have said at least publicly that they would like Lamont to run again versus them running. But again, that has not, deterred you from running to run for the Democratic nomination.
Well, there's a big difference between myself and them, and that is that I've been critical of our governor over the last 2 years about policy, not about the person, about policy. And the folk that you just mentioned are generally a little bit less critical. So they would not be in a position to actually create that juxtaposition between themselves and the governor, something that I can and I'm going to be doing. So they certainly are interested in this position. I think that they've been fairly open with people on Democratic town committees, with people that control this process about what their intentions are. And I respect they're not throwing their hat in the ring against the governor. For me, this is about taking on big fights, whether it's on taking on big fights within your party or taking on big fights, whether it's structural and tax related, taking on big fights when we're talking about the federal government. This is something that I've done from the beginning. It's something that I'll continue to do. So I think that there are people who know me who also are not surprised that this is something I'm willing to take on. Because I'm ultimately trying to give voice to the frustration for the people in our state that are seeing the Democratic Party fall short in a lot of areas. And the goal for this campaign is to win Line A and is to become the governor.
We're chatting with Representative Josh Elliott, who has officially announced his candidacy for the Democratic nomination for governor, even before incumbent Governor Lamont decides whether or not he will seek a third term in office. So, Representative Elliott, you sort of hinted at this in the beginning of our conversation. Let's go point blank. What do you stand for?
So I really believe that an economy is built on the middle class. And here in Connecticut, we have one of the most regressive tax structures in Connecticut. And I want to say out the gate, my goal is not just to raise the wealthy's taxes and then be done with it. The reason I'm talking about that, and I think you have to be honest about that, is that the middle class and the working poor are getting absolutely crushed in our state. And there's two reasons why. It is the property tax and it's the sales tax. So my goal is not even to raise more money. My goal is to ensure that the way that we're raising money holistically, both with the state and with the towns, is done so in a way that allows people more disposable income, because people in the middle class that have more of that income are actually spending it locally and it's getting used more. And it also increases the quality of life. And I think that even as business owners, and I'm a small business owner in Hampton, we do better when more people can come in, not less people with more money. So that's the primary goal. Now, there are certainly places we can look to, like if you look to Massachusetts and they have their 4% surcharge on people making $1 million or more, and now all of a sudden they're paying their teachers better and they have free school meals, universal meals, things that we saw during the pandemic and that were really, really helping with childhood poverty issues. We aren't able to do those things now, but there is an opportunity to be asking those, especially with the Trump tax cuts coming. We are going to see an influx of money into the private coffers of people who live in Connecticut. But right now, we're also going to be seeing massive cuts to Medicaid. And of course, those are the same thing as Husky. We're going to be seeing massive cuts to Husky. And these are people that are working full time that need health care. So there's a lot of things in our system that that we aren't helping the middle class enough with. And my goal is to do more of that.
Representative Elliott, I mean, you started to hint at it by bringing up Massachusetts. How does Connecticut tax for millionaires compare to other states?
We're a little bit different. Every state's a little bit different. The reason that we're unique is that we don't have a county-based system. So normally you would have the Woodbridges chip in a little bit more for the New Haven. The West Harpers chip in a little bit more for the Harpers. And I could go through a number of those comparisons over the course of the state. Since we don't have that, we really, at the municipal level, rely on the state to be providing for core services, specifically education, but also for police and also for firefighters. Some other states have a little bit more, a little bit less in terms of their corporate taxes. Some don't have sales tax. Some have higher sales taxes. So it's sort of hard to make a really quick and dirty analysis. That said, if you're looking at the income tax exclusively, when you compare us to places like New Jersey, places like New York, our top rate is actually lower. We're fairly commensurate with Mass, although Mass has a much higher rate now, given the fact that they just implemented this surcharge. Again, this is for people who make $1 million or more. So if you make $900,000 or less a year, which I'm going to assume is the predominant amount of your listener base, anything I'm talking about would not affect you.
The reason I asked that, Representative Elliott, you're probably right about what you just said. The actual individual person, sure, probably doesn't fall under the millionaire plus. But what I'm more concerned about is, do you believe having a heavier tax on millionaires in our state will lead to more of the heavy hitter businesses leaving our state to go elsewhere?
I would say as long as there's money to be made here, then the answer is no. The fact is that when there are people that are educated, when there are people that have disposable income, when you have access to arts and culture and good transportation, that is what brings businesses in. It's a quality of life question. And I would argue that's often why businesses leave is because it's a quality of life question, because we don't have the infrastructure that places demand. Does the money matter? I would say it's an overall calculation for business, certainly. And when you're talking about businesses versus individuals, I would say that it probably does end up becoming more of a factor. At the same time, they also know when businesses move in or out that the people that work there are going to want good quality of life. And I think that that's a major component. So when you see places, you know, move to other expensive places like cities, that's often because people want to have a more dynamic living arrangement. And that's a thing that I think we need to be investing in Connecticut.
So, again, we have Representative Josh Elliott here, who is officially running for governor. He made a formal announcement for his candidacy for the Democratic nomination for the 2026 race. Representative Elliott, as you can probably imagine, there are so many eyes on what's gone on in New York City in recent weeks in their Democratic nomination, as you can imagine. Would you agree with people when they say that you kind of fall under the left progressive wing?
Yes, that is true. I tend to stray away from titles a bit. The reason being that I believe in the Democratic Party. I believe we are the party of change, either the party of inclusion. And as somebody who a decade ago was not really involved in politics, I believe that the best way to make these changes is to get involved. And I think that sometimes it's really easy to just point fingers and say, you're this kind of Democrat, you're this kind of Republican. But what I've also seen now being elected for nearly 10 years is that there are plenty of Republicans that I agree with on a lot of things, plenty of Democrats that I disagree with on a lot of things. And it doesn't matter how conservative or liberal somebody is on any specific issue, people will surprise you. And people are very individual and unique. There's no monolith within the Republican Party, just as there's no monolith within the Democratic Party. And so I do tend to align with people that fall more left on the spectrum. At the same time, it almost to a degree doesn't matter, because it has to do with specific issues that I work on. And over the course of the last 10 years, I've worked on hundreds and hundreds of issues. If you go to the CGA website, you can look up the bills that I've introduced and co-sponsored, and plenty of those ideas I've done so with Republicans.
One of which I believe, Representative Elliott, please correct me if I'm wrong, was making marijuana legal in the state.
That was a big priority of mine. At the time that we were pushing this, I have a fairly well-known piece with Dan Harr that came out where we took a trip to Massachusetts, and what we were trying to show was all the things that Massachusetts was doing that we weren't doing, that we could do better. And so whether at this point it was tolls to ensure that they have the funding necessary for the transportation, that we gambled a little bit, we bought cannabis there, just to show that this is the reason that Massachusetts was able to attract people. The legalization, the regulation of cannabis was something that had always been important to me before I got elected. But drug laws generally are really important to me. And that's because I don't believe that we should be using our correction system as a place to just warehouse folk that have mental health issues, folk that have learning disabilities. And ultimately, if you look at who is in our correction system, it's predominantly people that haven't been able on the outside to get the services that they need. And so it's been a really easy shorthand for us to say, okay, we don't want people to do drugs, we make it a crime. But if the reasoning stops there, you miss a whole bunch, which is that we're going to be spending more than $50,000 a year for every person who's incarcerated. And not only that, but if we're not paying into the system to ensure that our corrections officers have the support that they need, and they're working overtime hours, and they're understaffed dramatically by at least 500 positions, we have a system that just doesn't work. So it's easy to focus on this idea of like mushrooms, this idea of cannabis, and say, oh, this guy's crazy far left. Well, the fact is, this is also a monetary issue, and it costs our state a lot of money to lock people up for something that doesn't affect anybody else but the user themselves. And the issue is, we don't want people using, then what we should be really doing is ensuring that we have the services available to allow people to get off.
Representative Elliott, unfortunately, we have run out of time, but I'm so glad we at least got the conversation started here on WICC. I know you and I will be connecting many, many times down the road. And congratulations on your announcement. And I look forward to our next conversation.
I appreciate the time. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Representative Josh Elliott, again, who has formally announced his candidacy for the Democratic nomination for governor 2026. We will be certainly connecting with him, hopefully very soon.